From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the battle over abortion hits the boiling point in Texas with a dramatic state Senate filibuster, a new superstar in Texas politics, and Governor Rick Perry striking back. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. Governor Rick Perry had expected to address the National Right to Life Convention in Dallas on Thursday with big news that they would all welcome. He had planned on announcing the passage of new abortion laws for Texas, some of the toughest and most restrictive in the nation. Instead, Wendy Davis happened, and Governor Perry had to deliver a different speech to the Right to Life organization. Later, we'll hear an interview with Wendy Davis and from Senator Leticia Vandeput about that dramatic night and that filibuster. But first, Kate Yarray's Shelley Coffler reports on what the governor had to say at the National Right to Life Convention in Dallas.
No matter where they came from, Tennessee, North Carolina, or Florida, the Right to Life conventioners knew all about the protest and filibuster that kept Texas from becoming the latest state to pass a ban on abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy.
Oh, yes, it's huge news. Yes, we knew it was coming about.
Rochelle Focaracci followed the Tuesday night filibuster as she drove to the convention from Atlanta. She said she feared all along that the pro-choice protesters gathered in the Senate gallery were going to explode.
We knew that was going to happen. They really had an angry look on their face.
Kylene Wright, president of the Texans for Life Coalition, says she was in the gallery when hundreds opposed to abortion restrictions cut loose. She says she was afraid of being physically harmed because she was wearing a shirt that identified her as a Right to Life supporter.
It was a scary mob. I mean, we hid in locked rooms in the basement for a while, yes, until there were enough troopers to take us out.
Governor Rick Perry says the protesters are the reason he's calling another special session to pass the stricter abortion measures.
What we witnessed Tuesday was nothing more than the hijacking of the democratic process. And this is simply too important a cause to allow unruly actions of a few to stand in its way.
The governor also took a swipe at Democratic State Senator Wendy Davis, who filibustered the abortion bill. Perry says it's unfortunate she didn't learn from her own experience as a single teenage mother that even children in difficult circumstances deserve a chance to succeed.
I'm proud that she has been able to take advantage of her intellect and her hard work, but she didn't come from particularly good circumstances. What if her mom had said, you know, I just can't do this. I don't want to do this.
Senator Davis responded to the governor, saying his statement is without dignity and tarnishes the high office he holds. Davis has left open the possibility that she'll run for governor next year. Perry, again, was unwilling to say whether he will run for a fourth consecutive term. He says he'll delay his announcement until lawmakers tackle abortion, transportation, and criminal sentencing issues in the 30-day session that begins Monday. While appearing confident the 20-week ban will pass this time, Perry seemed to take the crowd of Tuesday protesters seriously.
Take your phone out, and I want you to text in the word life.
He asked conventioners to text his office so he can contact them for support, saying the Right to Life activists will have to meet the opposition's intensity. Shelley Coffler, KERA News.
Senator Wendy Davis has become an overnight political sensation, not just in Texas, but all across the country. And there's serious talk about her running for governor on the Democratic ticket in 2014. On Tuesday, Davis filibustered SB 5, a bill that would ban most abortions after 20 weeks in Texas and impose regulations that abortion providers say would shut down all but five clinics in the state, leaving none west of I-35. That bill did not pass due to the Davis filibuster and to the reaction of the spectators in the Senate gallery. And there are accusations that the Senate leadership was playing fast and loose with the legislative timestamp to make it appear as if the abortion bills passed before the midnight deadline. I spoke to Davis about that night, her possible plans to run for governor, and how she prepared for that filibuster.
you know, I can't say I did anything magic to prepare for it. My staff and the staff of my Democratic Senate colleagues all helped to put together materials for me to read as part of the filibuster. I tried to get a good night's sleep the night before, and honestly, I underestimated how hard it would be physically to accomplish that feat. So that was probably a good thing, or I would have been a little bit more intimidated about it going into the process.
And what were your expectations?
I really believed that we could kill that bill, and I'm thrilled that in spite of the attempts of my Republican colleagues to shut it down in a way that was really an abuse of the Senate rules, that we were able to accomplish that goal.
So you thought that they would not be so nitpicky on these issues, like being germane, calling you for mentioning Roe v. Wade or mentioning sonograms as not being appropriate for a filibuster?
I think, you know, if you talk to people who have been around Texas politics for a long time, they'll tell you that no filibuster in the history of the Texas Senate has ever been subject to such scrutiny. It's been always an honored tradition. If someone can withstand the endurance test, our Senate body typically is one that defers to that and understands that it's a valued tradition. But what we saw on Tuesday in that Senate chamber was that the rules were completely run over. And, you know, the idea somehow that a germaneness point of order could be upheld, saying that talking about a sonogram bill that affected abortion access in the last legislative session, as I was building the point that this bill added on top of that, the cumulative impact of that would be so detrimental to women. You know, the fact that that was found to be somehow not germane to the conversation is absolutely absurd. And when the president of the chamber, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, made that ruling, I think everyone was shocked, including some of the Republican observers who were on the floor that evening.
The rules about having to stand in one place, not lean, not sit, it seems to stack the deck in favor against people who are not very able-bodied.
I suppose that's true. You know, I haven't thought about that before. If we had a colleague who was not able to stand, physically, literally unable to stand because of a disability, I can't imagine that we would enforce that requirement. I don't know that that situation has arisen before.
But, I mean, you're being fit and ambulatory, and we have other people in the Senate who aren't quite so fit. I don't know if they'd be able to accomplish that. Or maybe they'll change the rules to make it even tougher. You got to stand on one foot and pat your stomach
right?
Your head at the same time. I mean, it seems just as arbitrary and ridiculous as the rules as they stand now.
Yes, I think you make an excellent point.
Now, the other expectations, did you have any idea that you would catch on like a wildfire in the social media?
No idea whatsoever. It's still a little bit overwhelming, honestly.
You were on YouTube and hundreds of thousands of people were watching live and then the Twitter sphere. And when Barack Obama tweeted what was going on, it was like a shockwave through the matrix. Other people, Ricky Gervais, celebrities, Patton Oswalt, Sarah Silverman, also tweeting, standing with Wendy.
It's remarkable.
And now you have become a celebrity online, people following you. That certainly gives you a lot more reach as a politician. As you know, in Texas, you were considered a regional Texas politician, and now you're a national person of stature.
It's a very humbling experience, Dave.
So Julia Roberts or Sandra Bullock, who's going to play the part?
I love them both.
Now, there seems to be a new debate about the clock and the date timestamp. The whole thing was about getting to midnight, and that was the cutoff. And so now we're hearing from Secretary of the Senate, Patsy Spahl, who has this new explanation and makes it seem very nonchalant that the computer does this and then we correct it. It happens all the time. It was no big deal. And that the vote actually started before midnight. And it's like the last play in a football game. And it can go on as long as it starts before midnight. It doesn't take matter how long it took.
Yeah, I love Patsy Spahl. I think she is a remarkable woman of incredible integrity and character. And I certainly would not disparage anything that she says. But I'm concerned that the purpose for that may have been less innocent. And you know, I'm not sure if you observed, but we spent another 3 hours off the chamber floor in caucus with the lieutenant governor, and it took that long before the pronouncement of the bill being dead occurred. And there was a question about the change of that timestamp or the change of the date of the vote, because certainly it could be argued that by changing the date, it fortified the argument that the bill had passed. And we confronted that as we left the Senate floor. And fortunately, the right decision was reached. But I think a lot of people have questions about that. And I certainly have questions about it in my mind as well.
So is this nitpicky in itself, or is this about, you know, maintaining the rule of law? If we're going to be a nation of laws, we got to play by the rules.
You know, what we saw, I think, on Tuesday was that the rules apply fairly haphazardly, depending on how they were benefiting the person who was our presiding officer. And really, the energy that we saw, the electric response that we saw from the people in the gallery can be attributed to that. They had sat quietly with incredible decorum throughout the day. I read some accounts that people were saying you literally could hear a pin drop. And it's true. They were so respectful all day long. There was only one person who was removed from the chamber, and he was a person of an opposing view who was yelling at me from the gallery. And what happened with that group of people who was there being tremendously respectful of our Senate rules and decorum was that as the day progressed and they saw the lieutenant governor failing to observe that decorum himself, failing to observe the rules and literally using them to serve his own political purpose, ultimately they cried out against that with a voice that I think deserved to be heard. And as you know, at the end of the evening, literally, it became the people's filibuster, and they helped direct the outcome that occurred as a consequence of their involvement.
Senator Leticia Vandepute came up from San Antonio directly from her father's burial to attend the filibuster. How significant, what did it mean to you to see Senator Vandepute show up on the floor?
I am awed by her. She's had an amazingly difficult session. She came at the beginning of the session with a broken foot, and she quite literally marched on in spite of it. A few weeks ago, right after having the governor of the day celebration honoring her, she lost her grandson, an infant grandson, and then, you know, literally right on the heels of that, she lost her father, tragically. And still, she made the people of her district and the people of Texas a priority in spite of all of those personal hardships. If there's a true heroine of the day on Tuesday, it's Senator Leticia Vandepute. I just can't say enough about how amazing she was. And when she spoke up and demanded to be heard and was ignored by the chair repeatedly, her words were right to the point. She was you know, without vitriol in the way that she presented herself, but she asked a very clear and pointed question of what does it take for a woman on the Senate floor to have her voice recognized over that of her male colleagues? Because that's exactly what was going on. And her statement really created the follow through, the eruption that we saw in the crowd. Engaged them and really got things moving. It was amazing.
But it is you, Senator Wendy Davis, that has drawn the ire of Texas Governor Rick Perry, speaking at the National Right to Life Conference in Dallas. Rick Perry singled you out, and he said something to the like that having you were the child of a single mom, and then you are a single mom, and then having then put yourself through college and graduated with honors from Harvard Law School, that you of all people should understand the sanctity of life. What does that mean?
I can't speak for what that means. All I can say is I think he demeans the office that he serves in, the high office that he serves in, by making personal statements like that.
But it's interesting, you know, a lot of people got introduced to Wendy Davis with this with the filibuster, and now with Rick Perry's statement, I don't know if he meant it to be this way, but we got to learn a little bit more about you that we did not know, and that is your incredible personal story and about your mom moving to Texas, and then getting divorced from your dad, and then having to grow up, you know, without receiving child support, and you going to high school, and then getting married and having a child, and then that not working out, but then you keep plugging along and become an incredible student and graduate from law school. And it's just an amazing story.
Thank you. I'm a blessed human being. I truly am.
So people are wondering if this is the kind of narrative that voters will respond to on a statewide basis. Are you going to run for governor?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show up at the Capitol on Monday along with the rest of my Democratic Senate colleagues, and I'm going to fight like hell for the next 30 days to try to kill this horrific piece of legislation again, and then I'll have time to think about such things.
That was Senator Wendy Davis, a Democrat from Fort Worth. As Davis mentioned, San Antonio Democrat Senator Leticia Vandeput also played a major role in that filibuster, and she was forced to directly leave her father's burial to go straight to Austin and take a stand against the abortion bill.
Well, our family has experienced two tragedies right in a row. The first week of May, we lost my infant grandson, baby Rex Vandeput. He would have been almost 6 months old. And unexpectedly to SIDS. And then a tough legislative session finale. But last Friday, my dad was in a horrible traffic accident and didn't survive. And so as our family reeled from the second loss and trying to cope with both of them, but just the funeral and planning at a time when my presence was greatly needed at the legislature. What started first was my request to the lieutenant governor, giving me an hour and a half time before any significant vote on process or any measures would be done so that I could return to Austin. Unfortunately, the night of my dad's rosary, the lieutenant governor set the vote at 7 p.m., which was the exact time of my father's rosary. My colleagues had already arranged for vans to come to San Antonio to pay their respects. And when I knew that my presence was required, because that was the only way we could stop the bill from coming up early, I had made the decision that I must return. In speaking to Senator Eddie Lucio, he said that that was extremely disrespectful. He came and he was with our family, and I will be forever grateful to a man who said this isn't right and said, although I want to be voting for SB 5, I'm going to be faithful and loyal to my friend. And so that set up for, that's why I didn't have to return on the night of my dad's rosary. On the day of the filibuster, I knew that we could only secure the burial for my dad at Fort Sam for a later time. And I didn't plan on returning, knowing full well that Wendy Davis was perfectly capable of filibustering for 13 hours. But after monitoring that, after the burial, and our family was gathered together, knew that after the second point of order was called, that the Republicans would do anything to remove her from this filibuster. I knew that I must return. And so I did return to the Senate chamber.
Your return to the Senate chamber, there a tweet went out. People were Facebooking. They're watching the whole event online. And the people who were there in the gallery, Senator Vandeput is here. It was like the cavalry had arrived. The supporters who were trying to see the filibuster continue.
Well, I knew that my presence would bolster my dear friend in her efforts to stop this egregious law that would hurt women, really putting at risk their health care. And yet I was emotionally drained. And for the first few minutes, I could not even come out of the Senate lounge. I had lots of women legislators from the House and all of my colleagues offering their condolences, hating the fact that I had to return. And I didn't have any courage. I didn't have any energy left. And I returned to my seat, and I didn't engage. I did not. And then thanks to Carol West, the wife of Senator Royce West, who also was fighting and doing a lot of the parliamentary inquiry, she came to me and hugged me, and she said, "You need to use your voice, Leticia. You need to use your voice. If you're just here, then you're not really using your power, and you can do this." And she knew my dad, and she said, "Do it in his honor, in his memory. Engage. Use your voice." And at that time, at that very moment, she said a little prayer, and the Republicans called the third point of order on Wendy, thereby trying to remove her permanently and stop that filibuster. I went and argued that point of order, and it was a ridiculous point of order that basically said, since she said the word sonogram, and sonogram was not in the bill, that it wasn't germane.
The filibuster did fail.
Yes.
And they had, and so the leadership was able to try and move the legislation forward and get it passed. And so evidently this was a time where you did fully engage, as other senators did, and what happened?
Well, they tried to stop Wendy a little after 10 o'clock on the third point of order. And at that point, I engaged by arguing on the point of order. But then it was evident that those in control wanted this bill to pass at all cost. So they disregarded Senate rules. We kept appealing. We kept parliamentary inquiry. It was a sham and a mockery of what should happen in a legislative body.
So you were playing by the rules, trying to use the traditions of the Texas Senate in order to achieve your political goals. That's how it works.
That's how it works. But not only that, repeatedly, even though myself and other Democrats would hit their light, there's a light at the desk that you hit and you say, "Mr. President," we were fast and we were ready. But we were not called upon and we were overlooked. But particularly on many times, I kept trying to be called on, and the people in the gallery heard my voice. The press box heard my voice. I knew I had pushed my button way before my Republican colleague, Dan Patrick, because he sits right in front of me. And yet he was called upon. And in utter frustration, at about a quarter till midnight, when we thought that her filibuster would not be successful, I finally got screaming the attention of Senator Duncan, who was at the dais at the time. And that's when my frustration showed. What I said was, at what point does a female senator have to raise her voice or her hand to be recognized over a male colleague in this room? And it was frustration. At that point, the gallery erupted.
That was the trigger that the gallery, they took over.
It was a statement that encapsulated the entire process on Senate Bill 5, that they didn't want to hear women's voices. They didn't want to hear the very people that they were affecting. And they would stop at nothing, including throwing out the rule book, changing the timestamps, at the very end. And so the crowd, some may say it was mob rule and unrest and that they were disrespectful. Well, how do you expect people to go by the rules and be respectful when the very Republican leadership made a sham of the rules and they were not respectful of the process? So I think the public engaged and they weren't going to be silenced.
So Senator Wendy Davis comes out of this event as a media star, a political star. People are wondering if she's going to run for higher office.
I think Wendy Davis is destined to run for higher office at some point. You know, she has a very compelling personal story. Came from poverty, very humble backgrounds. Raised by a single mom. She herself, a teenage mother.
Governor Perry, speaking about that, said, even the woman who filibustered was born into difficult circumstances. This is Perry speaking at the National Right to Life Convention in Dallas. She was the daughter of a single woman. She was a teenage mother herself. She managed to eventually graduate Harvard Law School and serve in the Texas Senate. It's just unfortunate that she hasn't learned from her own example that every life must be given a chance to realize its own potential. Every life matters.
I think it's absurd that the governor would use the success of a very, very brilliant and determined woman and turn it against her. Wendy Davis went to community college, and she struggled through that. Then she went on to TCU and then to Harvard. You know, she is what I call wickedly smart. She is determined. She's been a great public servant, first as the city council of Fort Worth. And, you know, to make a comparison that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. The problem with Republicans is if they want to outlaw abortion, then outlaw abortion. Pass a bill that says no abortions in this state. If they want to challenge the constitutionality, then do it. But they hide behind this mantra of protecting women when in fact all they want to do is protect their own primary races.
So Governor Perry has called for a new special session beginning on Monday, July the 1st. This is on the call. These abortion laws, restrictive abortion laws, they will probably pass.
They probably will pass. And if they do, we're going to see the effects. I think we're going to see the effects first and foremost to those women who will revert to what used to happen before. We will see also that there will only be 5 clinics left in this entire huge, big, big geographic state. But what they didn't count on was catapulting a Democratic superstar. What they didn't count on was the public catching them cheating and disregarding and trying to change the outcome. What they did count on was the public's voice speaking out.
That was Senator Leticia Vandepute, a San Antonio Democrat. Her comments are credited with sparking what's being called the People's Filibuster, a wild crowd reaction Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning, and which prevented the passage of new strict anti-abortion laws in Texas. That happened after an 11-hour filibuster by Senator Wendy Davis. We heard from Davis earlier in the program. Governor Perry has called for a new special session to try again to pass those abortion laws. That extra special session begins on Monday. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can find me on Twitter. You can also write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. And you can comment on our website, tpr.org. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.